Okay, we are holding on days on the days, seven lines from the bottom. We started learning yesterday that when our Mishnah says that Krichus v'Rishus HaRabim, if you find bundles of grain in Rishus HaRabim, then you can keep them, and the next Mishnah says that if you find them in Rishus HaYochid, then you have to then you have to return them. We mentioned a double machlokus between Rabba and Rava. Number one, if you have a simen that's likely to be trampled on and destroyed, is that considered a valid simen or not? Rava says no, Rava says yes. So if it has a simen, you have to return it, you have to announce it, even if it's likely to be trampled, because as long as you found it while the simen is intact, you have to assume that the owner didn't have yush on it yet. And number two, that led into another machlokus, which is whether the place where something was found is considered a valid simen. If someone were to come and say, that I lost this in this place, would that be a valid simon or not? Rabba said no, and Rava said yes. So, Tashma, Krichus b'Rishus HaRabim harei l'shaloi, come with proof from a braisa. The braisa expands on our Mishnah and says, if you find bundle, now Krichus means small bundles. So if you find small bundles, as opposed to alumos, which we're going to have in a second, which are alumos, which are larger bundles.
And agudos?
Agudos it doesn't mention over here, but in terms of grain, an aguda could be anything, but an aguda is not usually a term that you use with grain. Krichus is smallish bundles, and alumos is larger bundles. Those are the two standard terms, the two standard sizes of bundles of grain.
Because
it can mean just a small bundle. It can mean like a bundle of vegetables or something. It's not an amount that you would typically bundle grain in.
Alumos is big,
and krichus are small, but still, even the small ones may have a few dozen or a few hundred sheaves in them, whatever. Okay. So, krichus b'rishus HaRabim harei l'shaloyis. If you find krichus in the Rishus HaRabim, then you can keep them. B'rishus HaYochid noit l'machus. If you find such things in Rishus HaYochid, you have to take them and announce them. But if you find big bundles, bein b'rishus HaRabim, bein b'rishus HaYochid noit l'machus, then either way, Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYochid, you would have to announce them. So we have to ask, Rabba Hechim Taruslo, Rabba Hechim Taruslo. How would Rabba explain this braisa? If Rabba says that the reason why you don't have to return it in Rishus HaRabim is because it's going to get stepped on, simina osu lidoris, so what's the difference, according to him, between big and small bundles? Why would you have to announce big bundles? And there's no mokum, is not the simin either, again, because... That's what the Gemara is going to explain it. And how would Rava explain this? If Rava explains that with the case of our Mishnah is there's no simen, but if there's a simen, you do have to announce it, then what's the difference between krichus and alumos? Why should we assume one has a simen and one doesn't? So the answer is Rava Mataris the Taimei, the simen, but Rava Mataris the Taimei b'mokim. Each one will be able to explain it according to their shitta, that Rava will say that the difference between krichus and alumos has to do with the simen, and Rava will be able to explain that it has to do with mokim, with the place of where it is. So it's talking about, again, according to Rava, it has no simen, but the place itself where it's located is itself enough of a simen. Namely, Rava Matayos the time made a simen. He goes to Likas. Krichus b'rishus HaRabim harei l'shaloi, like you said, mishum demidarsa, because small bundles are likely to be stepped on. So therefore, the simen are osu lidoris. The knot or whatever it is, the method by which it was tied or the number is likely to get stepped on and therefore destroyed. Rishus HaYochid, no tzal machritz, if you find in Rishus HaYochid, you have to take it and announce it, delay midarsa, because it's not going to be stepped on, because in Rishus HaYochid, not that many people walk by there. V'halumus, v'en Rishus HaRabim, v'en Rishus HaYochid, no tzal machritz, whereas large bundles, whether it's in Rishus HaRabim or Rishus HaYochid, you would have to take them and announce them, kivid de grihan, because since they're tall, delay midarsa, they're not going to be stepped on.
Unlikely,
yeah. By the way, I mean, some of Farshim talk about, some of Shonim talk about that really, I mean, you should have to distinguish over here between whether, as we talked about at the beginning of the Perek, whether it's Derech Hinuach or Derech Nefila. Does it look like it was deliberately put down over there, like maybe the guy put it down to take a breather for a minute and is going to come back for it in a few minutes, or whether it looks like it was lost? So at the end of the Sugya, actually the Gemara is going to make that distinction. We're not really making that distinction yet.
Spread out versus...
No, not really. Spread out. You can tell, for example, if it was deliberately placed in a certain position or whatever, you know, as opposed to if it was a little bit off to the side or whatever. Yeah. But so one thing is, though, that they find, that Ashba talks about this, is that when you're talking about it in Rishus HaRabim, even if it's Derech Hinuach, if it has a simon, don't leave it over there because it's gonna get trampled, it's gonna get kicked around, as the Gemara is gonna say in a minute. He knew what means it was deliberately placed there. But even so later on Chofeimid Beis, we're gonna talk about a case where you find something derech hinuach and it doesn't have a simon, you shouldn't take it because then the only possible simon is the place, and if you pick it up from there you destroy the simon.
By the way, hinuach is some sort of simon, isn't it?
Well, in a way. The point is, in other words, the difference is that derech hinuach is one difference between derech hinuach and derech nefila. Is derech hinuach, the person is going to know where he left it.
And how he left it.
Derech nefila, by definition, it fell. He's not going to know exactly where it fell. So makom can't really be used as a simon anyway. But so if it's in a place that's semi-protected, as we're going to learn on Chofeim and Beis, then you should leave it there if it doesn't have a simon, because then the guy will come back for it. But if it's like here we're talking about Nushos Rabim, you shouldn't leave it over there, even if it's derech hinuach, because it's going to get kicked around, it's going to get trampled, somebody else may take it, whatever, and therefore better you should take, if it has a simon, better you should be taking it and announcing it. Again, according to Rabba, we're talking about both cases, the bundle has a simon, the difference is if it's a small bundle and it's in Rosh Hashanah, the simon is going to get trampled, therefore we assume the owner never intended to be able to have to be able to collect it based on that simon anyway, whereas if it's in Rosh Hashanah, or it's a large bundle, then the simon is not going to get destroyed, and therefore he expects to be able to claim it with a simon.
So, according to Rabba,
that's what we're saying. If it's a small bundle, you can keep it. You can keep it, because whatever simon there is likely to be destroyed, and therefore the guy is not going to assume that he has any kind of simon in it, therefore you can keep it. If it's a large one, you have to announce, because it's not going to be stepped on. Therefore, the simon is not going to be destroyed.
Rabba,
we're going to get to now. Wait. The Rava Matayat B'Tameh, Rava will explain the Braisa according to his understanding. That's the Mokrim, that he'll explain that the Simon over here is the place where it was found. So therefore, Krichas B'Shos Rabim Areh L'Shaloi, the reason why small bundles in B'Shos Rabim you're allowed to keep, D'Minashtifa, because they roll around, they get kicked around. As people walk down the street, it moves from one place to another.
It's a bit like Rava, isn't it?
No, because Rava is saying it doesn't matter the place. According to Rava, even though the place is not a Simon anyway, because as the Gemara is going to say in Amud Beis, you can always tell the guy, okay, you lost the bundle over here. Lots of other people have probably lost bundles over here over time also. Who says this one is yours? Rabba is focusing on the simon, on the actual simon that's on the bundle itself. There's a tag on it, there's a certain kind of knot, whatever. But
in the Rosh Hashanah, both agree, you have...
Well, fine, they both have a braisa that they have to find for. The braisa is telling us that there's a difference between Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Hashanah, and that there's a difference between big bundles and small bundles. Each one has to explain it in accordance with their shitta. So Rava is going to explain that the reason why, you find a small bundle of Rosh Hashanah, why you can keep it, the minashtefa, because it gets kicked around. So therefore, it moves from place to place. So there's no mokum, there's no simon on it to begin with. Rava is learning that there's no simon on it. The only possible simon would have been the mokum, and it gets kicked around, so there's no simon of mokum either. Yeah, and then Pnei Yeshua adds, it's not even, you couldn't even, let's say, imagine the guy, for example, drops it on Montgomery and Kingston. So, it gets kicked around, let's say you find it on Montgomery and Crown. Fine, you could announce that you found it on Montgomery and Crown. What good is that going to do? The guy is not even going to pay attention. He's going to think to himself, I didn't walk down Montgomery and Crown. I didn't walk down Kingston and Crown. I walked down Kingston and Montgomery. So therefore, when he hears someone announcing, I found something on Kingston and Crown, he's not even going to bother paying attention. So it's not going to do any good anyway. If you find it in Rosh Hashanah, then the Braisa says you have to announce it. Why? Rava says, because it doesn't get kicked around there. So therefore, where he dropped it is probably where you found it. The Haluma is a big bundle. Big bundles. Either way, you have to take them and announce them. Because since they're big and heavy, they don't get kicked around. So therefore, again, Rava can say there's no simon on it. The simon is the mokum, but a big bundle was going to stay where it was originally dropped. Therefore, you're able to announce the mokum and expect for the person to be able to say that's where it was.
The answer's left, Rava.
We'll get to the end of the story at the bottom of the omen. So this braisa is not a problem for either Rava or Rava. Each one can explain it according to his shitta. Okay. Toshma. Come, let's prove our Mishnah had said that if you find loaves of bread that come from the bakers, then you're allowed to keep them because they're all a standard shape, so therefore there's no simon in them. Actually, the Rashash points out that even if each baker bakes his bread in a slightly different shape, nevertheless, though, it doesn't really help. I mean, the baker sells to many different customers. Ultimately, you don't know which customer bought. Anyway, Hosha Balabai is Chayiv L'Hachriz. So the implication is if you find loaves of bread made by a balabos, made by a private person, then you have to announce it. Because it pickers from Machtam of a certain standard shape.
So it's not a standard shape, it's assumed to be from Balabais?
Yeah, I mean, you have, for example, you know, think of, you go to the bakery, you know, you buy challahs over there, you buy rolls over there, they have a certain finished look to them more than what's made in a person's private kitchen. Hosha Balabais, implying that if you found loaves belonging to a Balabais, Chayav Lahafriz, then you would have to announce them. By the way,
being different from the Nachtam.
Right, but Rashi, by the way, points out the Gemara didn't really have to say by implication. The next Mishnah tells us explicitly that Kikris Shabbalabayas you have to announce. Why did the Gemara act as though, like, we don't know it clearly from Mishnah, we have to infer it from our Mishnah? Okay, Rashi says, because since we were talking about Krichas B'Shus Rabim, when we used that as a question on Rava, which was from our Mishnah, therefore the Gemara continues in that same vein, asking from our Mishnah and its implications, rather than bothering to look at the next Mishnah. The Ramban gives a different answer. The Ramban says, from the next Mishnah, you wouldn't necessarily know. You would say, if you find Kikos Shabbal Abayis, maybe it means only if you find them in Rishus Yochid. It doesn't tell us if you find them in Rishus Rabim. But the implication of our Mishnah, that if you find Kikos from Nachtoim, then you can keep them, implies that Kikos Shabbal Abayis, even if you find them in Rishus Rabim, you would have to return them.
You should always return them, shouldn't you?
If it's a Rishus Rabim, the Mishnah is saying, if you find Kikos Shal Nachtam, if you find it's Lojim.
Shal
Yachid, well, that's the thing. In other words, if it's Shal Yachid, it has a certain simen to it, because every person bakes their bread differently.
Shal Nachtam, there's no way.
That's the point. In other words, the Ramban says, if you only have the next Mishnah, if you only have the explicit statements in the next Mishnah, Kikos Shal Balabayis, you have to return, you would think maybe that only applies in Rishus Yachid. Maybe you wouldn't know that it applies in Rishus Rabim, but the implication of our Mishnah teaches us even in Rishus Rabim. Okay, anyway. So now my time, and now why is that? Why should you have to return loaves of bread of a balabas? Kiven de isbohu simen, because they have a simen. De medi adia rifta de inish inishu, because it's known that every person's bread reflects that person. A person bakes bread in their own style. Therefore, medi adia, it's well known, rifta de inish, a person's bread, inishu, reflects the person himself. Literally, inishu literally means it is the person.
It's
an expression, like, you know, like we said the other day, duchted inishu, a person's place reflects him, each person grows their olive tree. The same way each person breaks their bread a little bit differently in accordance with their own personal style. Therefore, so it seems that the Mishnah is saying it doesn't matter if you find if you find bread baked by a private person, whether in Rishus Rabim, whether in Rishus Yachid, noitalamachris, the Mishnah seems to be implying that you would have to take it and announce it and find the owner. Alma simon ha'asuludoris have a simon, which on the face of it means that a simon that's going to be trampled is still considered a simon, because bread repastris is going to be trampled on if it's lying there in the street, and after a while it's not going to be noticeable that the shape of it, the particular shape or the particular fingerprints or whatever that are noticeable in it are not going to be noticeable anymore, and yet the Mishnah is saying you have to return it. Tiufta d'rabba. Isn't that a contradiction to Rabba?
Who said that
if it's simon ha'asuludoris, then you don't have to worry about it. Yeah. Amalach Rabba, so Rabba can answer you, Hasam, Hainer Taima, yes, but there's a different reason why bread is different. Mishum de ein ma'avir nala oichlin, because you're not allowed to pass by food that's on the ground and just leave it there on the ground. You have to pick it up. Well, so that's true also, but here we're not talking about that. Here we're talking about another
vacation we are.
Right, but we're not even talking about throwing it. So, I mean, the original person dropped it. He didn't throw it, but...
Some people are just throwing food.
Fine, well, that's also true. The Gemara tells us in Tainus but we're not even getting into that. The point is that if you see food on the floor, you're not supposed to go and leave it. You're supposed to pick it up. You're supposed to pick it up out of respect for food that the Eibishter made. So bread is not going to be a simon ha'asuludoris. It's not going to be trampled on. You're going to, as soon as a yid passes by, he's going to pick it up.
Goyim.
That's what the Gemara is going to ask next. Wait. Tosfos, by the way, talks about on the face of it, ein ma'avirin ala ochlin, you would think might be able to be explained as you shouldn't step on food, implying you could leave it there, but you don't allow it to actually step on it. Tosfos proves from a Gemara and Eruvin that that's not the case, that actually it means to pass by it. With that said, you have to actually pick it up.
Take it with you?
Not necessarily. Take it with you. Put it someplace like north off the ground or whatever. The Meiri, I haven't said that, though. The Meiri understands it differently. He understands that literally, ein ma'avir nala oichlin, literally means you're not allowed to step on it. So you don't have to pick it up, necessarily. Later on in the Sugya, in a few lines.
Is it just the kikar of bread, or is it food in
general? It's food in general. We're going to get to that soon. We're going to get to that soon in the case of the round cake of pressed figs from our Mishnah. Wait. So ein ma'avir na la'ichlim. So you're not allowed to pass by with food without picking it up. And therefore, it's not going to be a simon also the dardis. It's going to be picked up very soon. The question is, so therefore, Rabba will say, so it's not a simon also the dardis. If it was a non-food item, like bundles of grain, is not yet not ready to eat.
Rabba would say it is.
Yeah, but Rabba would say it doesn't matter whether it's simon also the dardis. Rabba learns the cases of our Mishnah as talking about there's no simon, but if there is a simon, you're going to have to announce them unless they get kicked around. So again, So the question is, like you asked about Ikur Nachrim, what about Goyim? They won't mind passing by food or even stepping on it. The answer is Nachrim Chayshi L'Kshachim. Goyim will not handle it because they're afraid that it was put there for purposes of kishuv, for purposes of witchcraft. So they won't pick it up, but they won't step on it either. Therefore, there's no problem with them stepping on it either.
I mean, they do. You could see them. It's not always.
We're not talking nowadays. Nowadays, Goyim are not down. Nowadays, your average Goy is not worried about kishuv.
They walk on it.
Look, I mean, you know what? I saw something from one of the contemporary poskim saying that nowadays, I mean, basically this applies to food that would still be edible if you picked it up. Nowadays, for example, you find, you know, say people take their stale challah and throw it out for the birds, you're not obligated to pick that up. It's not like anybody nowadays would eat food that was on the ground anyway, even if it was, So
that's how we get according to this Gemara involved.
This Gemara is talking about back in those days where even if you found a loaf of bread on the ground, they didn't worry about germs, they didn't worry about such things. Fine, they'd brush it off, they'd cut off the bottom layer or whatever, and they'd eat it. People were more desperate for food in those days. Nowadays, we live in a very affluent time, Baruch Hashem, you know, if somebody finds... If you find, let's say, for example, a loaf of bread in a wrapper, that's different. Then the rule would apply, because then people would eat it. But if you just find like a loose piece of bread on the ground, then yeah, you're not... Anyway, so Goyim are afraid of kishuv, so therefore they're not going to keep it. They're not going to pick it up and keep it, but they're not going to step on it either. So it's right they're not a simon also the dardis. Tosfos learns differently because Tosfos asks the question: why aren't we? If we're talking about that there's Goyim over there, never mind whether they'll step on it or not. Don't we figure that they'll take it? So Tosfos answers no. Because there's a good chance, people are going to figure, both Jews and Goyim, that there's a good chance the owner put it down there deliberately, again, derech hinuach, just for a minute in order to take a break or whatever it is, and he's going to come back for it. So they're not going to take it. So they're not going to take it because they're afraid the owner is watching from around the corner or whatever, and he's going to see them, and then they'll be caught as a guy. So they're not going to pick it up. The only concern is whether they'll step on it, and we're saying they're not going to step on it because they're afraid of being hexed by kishuv. Then Tosfos goes on to discuss a little bit if most of the people there are Jews, why don't we figure that a Jew is likely to pick it up, and therefore regardless, even if it's kikaris shel nachtam, you should be obligated to announce it because it's not kikaris shel nachtam really, whatever. Why is the Gemara even asking that Goyim may step on it? Why doesn't the Gemara take the opposite view? We're talking about a place where it's more Jews than Goyim. Why don't we figure a Jew is likely to pick it up and announce it, and then we get ready to do our Shabbos Aveda before Goyim even steps on it? So therefore, it's not relevant, the fact that Goyim may come and step on it.
Are we not necessarily talking about the Rov is Jewish?
No, because if the Rov is Goyim, then for sure you don't have to announce it. We're going to learn about that tomorrow. Anyway, so... Tosfos discusses that over here that you can go according to the Roiv over here. Tosfos earlier discusses that you can go according to the Roiv over here because there's no chazaka. We don't know who this belongs to. You usually say ein hochin mamamon acha Roiv, but you don't go according to Roiv in dini mamonis. That's when someone has a chazaka. You can't use Roiv to override that. Here, nobody has a chazaka on it anyway. It's found in the street.
Right.
But there's other explanations.
Okay.
Yeah. There's other, I mean, well, it's up to Hefker until you find the owner, but yeah. Okay. The question is, you could behemo club him. Fine, what about though? There are animals and dogs that will step on it to eat it or whatever. Actually, Tosfos says eating it may not be an issue. We're talking about large loaves of bread that they're not necessarily going to eat, but they may step on them, and then again, the simon will be destroyed. The answer is, ba'asra deloish chukhi behemo club him. Fine, the Mishnah could be talking about a place where it's not common animals. The question is, what is Rabba saying that the bread is not simon osu vidoris? That's not going to be trampled on because Jews don't step on it because ein ma'avir in ala ichlin. Goyim don't step on it because of kishuv, but animals and dogs will step on it. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it'll be a simon asur l'dardis, so you shouldn't have to announce it.
Yeah.
And the answer is ba'asur d'lo shchichah behemo klavim. Yes, but we're talking about a place where dogs where Tosafot says if it's a large one, they're not going to eat it. They may nibble at it, whatever. They're not going to eat the whole thing.
Not the whole thing, but they go.
They'll nibble on it, whatever. But yeah,
just trample it.
Okay, it depends how hungry the dog is, I guess. I don't know. Anyway, ba'as for delicious chicken, behemoth, we'll clove him. Fine, we're talking at a place where there's not that many domestic animals and there's not that many dogs, so therefore it's not very likely that one of them is going to trample it. Now, it is true, the Maloy Aroyim in the back of the Gemara points out that yes, it is true, if the thing is left there long enough in the street, eventually some dog or whatever is going to come and trample on it, or some person or whatever is going to not pay attention and step on it or whatever, but that's why the Gemara first brought in the idea, Ein Ma'avirin Ala Ochlin. Again, we're talking about a place that's majority Jews, so the likelihood is that a Jew is going to pick it up and put it someplace off to the side safely before a dog or an animal or whatever comes by. So therefore, so Rabba can say that that's not a problem, our Mishnah about Kikris shall nachdoin versus Kikris shall balabayis, because that's not a simina asur lijaris. If it was a non-food item, yes, then it would be different. Fine. The Gemara says, Lema katanoi. Should we say that this whole argument of Rabba and Rabba actually reflects machloikas tanoim? Namely, in our Mishnah, we learned Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a kol davar sheyesh b'shinui chai lachrid. Rabbi Yehuda had said that anything that has anything unusual in it, you have to announce. Ketzad, what are some examples? Matze igul v'seche cheres. If you found a cake of pressed figs, and in it, which in and of itself does not have a simen, because they have a standard shape and size and whatever, but if you found a piece of earthenware in it, then that's something unusual. Right. Yep. Or kikur v'seche mos. Or you found a loaf of bread and there's money inside it.
That's for sure a simen.
Well, Miklal the Tanakava Sava Harei L'Shaloi. The implication, since Rabbi Yehuda has to mention those cases, the implication is that the Tanakama holds, even in those cases, you're allowed to keep it. Now, why should that be?
By opposition.
Sivarua. So the assumption for purposes of the question is, Dekola Alma Simen Abama Elov Have Simen. The assumption for purposes of the question is that both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda would agree that a Simen Abama Elov, literally that means a Simen that comes up by itself.
Yeah,
have a simon. It's still a valid simon. Now she explains simon abama elov is something that could happen by itself. It could happen as you're preparing. Take a pressed fig that a piece of earthenware falls into. It could be as you're mixing dough for bread, money falls into it. And therefore, the point is that in this case, it could be one or the other. It could be that, for example, that the earthenware fell in there, the shard fell in there accidentally, or it could be you put it there deliberately as a simon. Tosfos argues with that because Tosfos says, who would put money deliberately in bread as a simon? That could fall in there by accident, sure, but how would you have something that could be accidental or could be purposeful? So therefore, no, Tosfos explains differently.
I mean, the money in itself is worth more than the bread.
Not necessarily, but the point is, no, nobody would do that as a simon. You want a simon, you'd do something else. Anyway,
put your name on it.
Yeah, whatever. So Tosfos explains that no. What it means, simen abama elav means, it does mean something that can happen on its own, but it can mean that you didn't know about it, or it can mean that you did know about it, but decided, you know what, I'll just leave it.
Gotcha.
Exactly that. If money falls in, if coins fall into your dough, it might completely happen without your knowledge. We learned a case of gifted like that. Or it might happen that not that you deliberately go and put it in there, but that it fell in there and you realized it as you're kneading the dough, but you decided, you know, you realized it as you're putting the bread into the oven, whatever, but you decided, you know what, let me leave well enough alone. That's the thing. We're assuming at this point, for purposes of the argument, that everybody agrees that such a thing is a simon.
Like even if you don't know about it?
Since it's something that it could have happened on its own, but it also could be that the owner knew about it. Again, according to Rashi, that he put it in there deliberately, or according to Tosfos, that at least he knew about it while he still had the bread or the pressed figs cake or whatever in his possession.
So then there's a suffix, you're saying.
Let's assume for purposes of this that it is a simon, because according to Rashi, let's assume that he put it in there deliberately, or according to Tosfos, let's assume that he knows it's there and knows that it's available to use as a simon. Furthermore, let us assume that both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda both agree that if you see food on the floor, you are allowed to pass by it. You don't have to pick it up. In which case, my lab the simina also the daughters come into thee. In which case, what must be the machlokus between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim must be about a simon that's likely to be trampled on. Mar sava lo have a simon or mar sava have a simon. Namely the fact that you're allowed to pass it by, and therefore inevitably eventually you're gonna have people step on it. Eventually you're gonna have people don't look where they're going, or animals come or whatever and trample it. If we say that, then it comes out. The Tanakhama would be saying that such a thing is not a simon. Therefore, you do not have to announce it, because the likelihood is that the bread will get trampled on and the coins won't be in it anymore, and therefore there won't be a simon. And Rabbi Yehuda would say that it is a simon. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda, that's the Gemara's point. That's the Gemara's question. Aren't they reflecting the same machlokas? Not really repetitive. The Shittim HaKabetis actually talks about that. It's not really. The fact that the Gemara has to go to all this trouble, and the fact that Rav Zvid actually is going to explain the machlokas in our Mishnah differently, that is not over that point of Simon after the Doris, the Shittim HaKabetis explains, it's not exactly, the Gemara is not asking why are they repeating the machlokas of the Tanoim. The Gemara's point that forces us to say what the machlokas of the Mishnah is or isn't is basically, if they're just arguing over the same point of Simon Asur V'Doris, then Rabbi Yehuda did not have to bring in two separate cases of a cake of pressed figs with a shard in it or bread with coins in it. He could have just said sheaves of grain, like we learned in the Mishnah, krichos v'shos rabim. Rabbi Yehuda would say if there's a shinui in it, then you're chayav
l'asur.
Implying that there's another element involved, right?
And that's what
Rav Zvid is going to answer. Amr Zvid Mishmei Derava. No, you can't understand it that way, because Isakudaitach, the Kasava Tanakama, Simon also the Doris Lehab a Simon. If you were to think that the Tanakama of our Mishnah holds that a Simon that's made to be trampled is not a Simon, like Rabba says, and Umavir and Allah Ochlin, and that the Tanakama of our Mishnah would hold that you are allowed to pass by or even step on food, the Rashba, by the way, points out even before, if we said Mavir and Allah Ochlin means to pass it by and not pick it up, here, in context of what we're talking about over here, Mavir must mean trampling on it. If you were going to say that, then Kritis Rabalabai, Spishus Adam, and my Machus. If you took those two assumptions, why, even if it was loaves of bread made by a Balabas, why would you have to announce it? The simon that's on them is going to be trampled. Obviously, that must
be.
Yes, so there wouldn't be a difference between Nachtim and Balabai.
Right.
Obviously, that can't be the crux of the Machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Zvid says in the name of Rabbi. No, you have to understand the Machlokas and the Mishnah Dikos. The Kulam of Savri Simon also the Doris Habi Simon. Everybody will agree. Both the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda will agree with Rava's position that a Simon also the Doris is a Simon. That is why you have to return Kikris Rabbala Bias, because they have a Simon. And Umavir and Allah Islam. Let's say, fine, they both agree that you're allowed to trample on food. So therefore, I have a Simon also the Doris, but until it gets trampled, it is a valid Simon. So the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda will be on this point of simon abama elav, a simon that is something that could have just happened accidentally without the owner even knowing of it.
As opposed to a simon that was
placed there deliberately. That's the thing. Again, a shard in an igel shalzvela is something that could have fallen there accidentally and the owner never even knew about it. Or according to Rashi, it could be something he put in there deliberately. Or according to Tosfos, it could be something that at least he realized was there. But you don't know. If you take the point that the Tanakama versus Rabbi Yehuda are arguing on that specific point, Simon Habama Elov, then there you go. The Tanakama saw a Simon Habama Elov loy have a Simon. The Tanakama would hold that such a thing is not considered a valid Simon. So you found this bread with coins in it. You still don't have to announce it, because there's no reason to even think that the owner knew that the coins were even in there in the first place. But Rabbi Yehuda saw a Habi Simon, whereas Rabbi Yehuda would hold the Simon. So therefore, nothing to do with the machlokas of Rabba and Rabba. But Rabba Amalach, and now how would Rabba explain the machlokas in our Mishnah? He would explain it as follows. The Kula Alma Simon also the Dodis Loy Habi Simon. He will say, in accordance with his own Shitta, that both opinions in our Mishnah will say that a Simon that's going to be trampled is not a valid Simon. But the Ein Mavir in Allah Eichlin, but you're not allowed to pass by or trample on food. So therefore, when it comes to Kikris Shabbala Bayis, the Simon is going to remain intact, because nobody's going to pass over or step on it without picking it up. And therefore, the simon will remain intact. Therefore, you have to announce it. Kikos shel nachtim is different, because they have no real simon, because they're made in a standard shape. Mm-hmm. So fine, Rabba will say, I agree with you, Rabba, that the crux of the machloikas in our Mishnah is about simon abome elof. Tanakama samalei have a simon, Rabbi Yehuda sava have a simon.
They wouldn't trample on it.
No, but in other words, simon abome elof is, we know that there's a simon. We know that it's not going to be trampled on.
Right.
But it's a simon that we don't know if the owner ever knew about in the first place. So fine. Then Rabbi Yehuda will hold such a thing as a valid simon. The Tanakama will hold that it's not.
If he didn't know, he's Miayesh at that point. He doesn't remember.
No, doesn't remember. He may not have even ever known that this Igel Shel Dvela has a shard.
Like previous discussion.
No. No, not really. Yeah, not really. Midas shalem midas. The difference is over here. The difference is over here that yir shalem midas is it had no simon, and we don't know whether he's been miyashed yet. Here we don't even know whether. Here we don't even know whether this is a simon or not. Again, given that we're talking about, as we said before, a loaf of bread or an igel shel tvela is food. Mm-hmm. Food is important to a person. It may even be heavy. He will realize very shortly after he dropped it that he in fact dropped it. So there's no problem of yir shalem midas because he'll have been miyashed fairly soon, almost right away, as soon as he realizes it's gone. Nice. The only question is, does he think that there's a simon in it or not? Well, he may not even know that there's a simon in it. He may not even know that there's a shard somewhere in this eagle shell vela.
So
it could be accidental. So therefore, that's the point. So both Rava and Rava will be saying that so far, that the machlokas between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda would be on that point. Then the only difference between Rava and Rava is Rava would say that even if it's a simon that's going to be trampled, even if you're allowed to trample on food and the simon is going to be trampled, such a thing is a valid simon. The only question is over here whether the simon exists in the first place, whether the owner knows of it or not. Rava would say. Rava would say that you're not allowed to walk over, you're not allowed to step on food, you're not allowed to pass it by. Therefore, it's not a simon also the jardis, because it's not going to be trampled. So the only question is it a simon? It's a simon above
my name. And that's according to Rav Zvid.
That's what Rav Zvid is explaining how each of them would explain. Yeah. Ikadamri. Then there's another version of this whole discussion, starting from a different point of view. Savrua, the initial assumption for purposes of this argument is, so before when we started saying Lema Katanoi before, when we started thinking that Rabba and Rava are reflecting the Machlokas Tanoim of our Mishnah, we thought that the two Tanoim of our Mishnah are arguing on Simon or Asu the Jaris or not. Now we're going to have a different version that maybe they're not arguing about that. Maybe they're arguing about Mavir Nala Uchlin, where we said that Rava had said Ein Mavir Nala Uchlin, and Rava presumably would say Mavir Nala Uchlin. So Savrua, it was assumed, Kol Alma Simon Abama Elam Havi Simon. Everybody would agree that a Simon that could have come there on its own is a valid Simon. And the simon asu lejaris loy have a simon. Furthermore, let's assume that everybody would agree that a simon that is likely to be trampled is not a simon. Let's say the ein mavir mylav v'mavir and aloy chum tumet. In which case, we only have the one factor left that the tanoim of our mishnah could be arguing about mavir and aloy chum. The marsav mavir and marsav ein mavir. Maybe then the Tanakama would hold that mavir and aloy chum. Therefore, the fact that there's the shard in the igel shel tvela isn't going to help. It's going to be trampled on. And Rabbi Yehuda would say ein mavir and aloy chum. Therefore, it's going to remain intact. Therefore, you have to announce it. And again, on this version, Amar Zvid Mishmei de Rava. On this version also, Rav Zvid comes and says in the name of Rava, no, you can't understand it that way, because Isapadaita Sava Tanakama, Simina also the Doris Lahab Simin. If you were going to say that Tanakama holds, like Rava, that a simon that's going to be trampled is not a valid simon, Umavir and Allah Uflin, and that you're allowed to trample on food, Kikos Shabalabais, Bishosarama, my machlis, why would you have to announce Kikos Shabalabais? They're going to be trampled on. Elo Amaras Vid Mishmei Derava. No, you have to understand the machlokas differently. The Kol Alma Savri Simon also the Doros Havi Simon. Everybody would agree that a simon that's going to be trampled is a simon, like Rava says. O Mavir Nala Uchlin. Furthermore, let's assume that everybody agrees you can trample on food. So the simon may well get trampled, but that's neither here nor there, according to Rava. O Mavir Nala Uchlin. Let's assume that both of them say you can trample on food. Vahach of a simon abama elav kamisvigi. Rather than the machlokas would be about simon abama elav, like we said in the first version of the discussion. The Tanakama Sava Simon Abama Elov Lai Havi Simon, Rabbi Yehuda Sava Havi Simon. So we reach the same point ultimately, but we get there by a different route. We get there by a different route. And again, the Rabba Amalach. Again, Rabba in this version would also tell you that I understand it differently. The Kol Alma Simon Asu Vidoris Lai Havi Simon. Everybody would agree that a Simon Asu Vidoris is not a valid Simon. The Ein Mavir Nala Uchlin, and that you're not allowed to trample on food. V'hachav a simon abama elav kamitzvah. The machlokas then would be about a simon abama elav, same as Rava. The Tanakama sava simon abama elav lai have a simon, but Rav Yehuda sava have a simon.
Cannot be anything else.
It can't be anything else, basically. Yeah, yeah. Because otherwise you can't explain why there'd be a difference between Kikos Shel Machtan and Kikos Shel Balabayis, and why the Tanakama would say that a simon that could have been accidental is not a simon, and Rav Yehuda would say it is. Yeah.
It shouldn't make any difference then if it was Balabais or not.
That's the point. Since there is such a difference, that shows that according to Rava, simon ostilidaris, a simon that's going to get trampled, is a valid simon. Even though you're allowed to trample on food, doesn't matter. Whereas Rava would say such a thing is not a simon. Therefore, that shows that Ein Mavir and Allah Earthling, you're not allowed to trample on food. Okay. Now, bottom line halacha, Amrav is Rid Mishmei the Rava. Klala Daveta, the general rule when it comes to lost objects is Kivin to Amrav Vaila Lechetrin Kis. Once the owner says woe about my loss, Miyash, let me know, then it means he had Yirsh, and then you'd be allowed to take the thing. Even if it had a simon, by the way, because once he had Yirsh. We said before Yirsh Shalem Das, but that was when it didn't have a simon, and there was no reason to think that he was. If it had a simon, he's not. We don't assume there's no reason to think he's going to be Miyash. But if in the end he is Miyash, okay, and Yirsh is Yirsh. Yeah.
When he says that somebody's got to hear it, or he can have it in his heart.
No, we have to. Somebody has to hear it. How else are they going to know?
I mean, a person can say normally a person would say. What does he have to say? It's like that he.
Okay, but you, the finder, have to know about it, right?
You don't have to hear it from him, right?
Not necessarily. But you have to know that it's the case. I mean, we're going to have cases. We're going to have a case later on in the parish.
We'll discuss this to you. That's a different topic.
Yeah. There is, by the way, an interesting thing. One of the Beforshim points out, you know, when we learned in Bava Kamma about Gzela, we learned you need more than Yirush. You need Shinu Rishus as well. How come over here you were able to take it with just Yirush?
She says Gzela here.
The difference, that's exactly the difference. Gzela is something that came to you Be'isser. Wow. Here it's something that came to you Be'heter.
Right?
Yeah. So that's the difference. Okay. V'amr was Rid Mishmei d'Rava, Hilchasa. The halacha, as far as this whole machlokas that we've been dealing with of Rabba and Rava, is as follows. Krichas v'rishas Rabba marei l'shalai. If you find small bundles in Rishas Rabbim, then as our Mishnah said, you're able to keep them. V'rishas yachid, if you find them in Rishas yachid, it depends. Iderech nefila, if you found them in a way that looks like they fell, then harei l'shalai, then you can also keep them, because then you can't say the place is a simon, because he doesn't know that he lost them over there.
You can't know, and it's his
rishus. Rishus Yachid doesn't mean his own rishus. Rishus Yachid means he was passing through. Somebody's rishus Yachid.
That's what I'm saying. The owner of the rishus.
The owner of the rishus Yachid may not himself ever find out. We're going to learn about that later. We're going to learn about that in connection with
his rishus.
Doesn't matter. We're going to learn later on that in order for Kenyan Chatzah to work, you have to know that it was in your Chatzah. You have to know that it was there. Besides which, also, this can be talking about not necessarily is it a chotzer or mishtameres, right? It cannot necessarily. It could be an open rishus yachid.
Okay, let's say it's mishtameres.
So if it's mishtameres, even so, Tosfos points out at the top of Chavav, the owner has to know. It has to be something that the owner might at some point conceivably discover. If he might never conceivably discover it, then
might discover. In other words, at the time it happens. He doesn't necessarily have to know about it.
But it has to be something that he'll at least be able to discover. We're going to learn in a case, for example, you find something in an ancient wall where the Baal HaChatzer may know. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, Iderech HaFila, because then the Mokum is not a simon. Iderech HaNocha, if you found them looking like he put them down deliberately, then you should take them and announce them. Again, don't leave them over there, it actually says, because a goy may take them. After all, the owner may have forgotten it over there. Rishiyachid. So again, you take them. Don't assume that the owner is. You don't assume the owner is necessarily going to come back for it, because unless
it's like the gut one.
If it's a safe area where people aren't going to pass by, fine, leave it. We're going to learn about that later on. Okay, I'm okay. But if there's a chance that goyim, for example, are going to take it, then you should take it. Better you should take it and announce it. The zevzev b'davar she'en bei simon. Both cases though apply when the thing doesn't have a simon. Aval b'davar she'yesh bei simon. But if the thing has a simon. And Rava said before that Simon Asu B'Doris is still a valid Simon. Then, it doesn't matter where you found it, whether it looks like it was dropped or whether it looks like it was placed there deliberately, you're obligated to announce it.
If you found a pair of tefillin, let's say.
Tefillin have a Simon. But we'll talk about tefillin later on in the parrot.
What kind of Simon?
The tefillin themselves, if you're in a bag, obviously they have a Simon, but just a loose pair of tefillin. I don't know. They may or may not have a simon. We'll learn about more tefillin later in the parak, actually. We'll talk about it. The interesting thing, Tosfos Rid asks, since when do you have an amora paskining like himself? Rava is mentioned is going on in the whole story over here about simon al sibadoris. All of a sudden, Rav Zvid is saying here in the name of Rava, the halacha is like that. Since when is an amora entitled to paskin like himself? The answer, so he says maybe the girsa should be Rav Zvid, not in the name of Rava, but just Rav Zvid by himself, or maybe in the name of Rav Papa.
Can you do that?
Another amora can paskin like Rava. But there's a different answer that no, maybe one of the other Mephoshim says that no, if all the Bnei HaYeshiva ended up agreeing with Rava against Rava, then fine, he's entitled to pass him like himself.
And that's probably
what's
happening. Iderech Nefila.
if it looks like it was dropped.
Yeah.
And Nuach, but if it looks like it was deliberately placed there.
No telemachers. What are you going to be machers?
You're going to be machers that you found it in this and this place. The person knows he placed it there. It's Derech Nuach. Therefore, yeah. Then the Mishnah continued, Machrozes shel dogim. If you find strings of fish, then you're allowed to keep them.
Fish on a string,
yeah. Yeah, the Tzemach Tzedek actually interestingly talks about in his Kedushim a little bit about this. I'm not sure I fully understood what he said. I think he draws a distinction whether there's holes in the fish and there's like a rope through the holes, in which case the holes themselves might be a sin in the shape of the holes, the location of them on the fish or whatever, versus, I guess, that I didn't understand him fully, but I guess versus, for example, if you just have a bunch of hooks, let's say, hanging from the rope and then a hook and then fish hanging from the hooks, where it's not necessarily a sin.
They used to make knots on the heads of the fish.
So the knots we're going to talk about in a second. Question is, why are you allowed to keep them? Like a kesher sin, why isn't it not a valid sin? The answer is the kitzra decider. We're talking about a standard fisherman's knot, the kulam ahokim katri. Everybody ties them the same way. Whatever kind of knot it is, it's a standard knot that everybody did. Okay. Question is, will I have a minion simon? Why is the number of fish on the string of simon? Yeah. Let the person give a simon. I lost a string with X number of fish on it. The answer is, b'minyanu d'shavin. Fine, but we're talking about a place where there's a standard number of fish that are placed on a string, so it's not a simon either. Boom, name it Rav Sheshes. They asked Rav Sheshes. And by the way, Tosfos points out that in connection with the dinim of kasher, so basar shenis alamin ayin, having meat, for example, on a string would be a valid simon to show that it wasn't exchanged for other meat. But here, when we're talking about an aveda, different rules apply.
Meat would be, and a fish would not.
Not that meat yes and fish not. The difference is that when it comes to the dinim of, there's a din called basar shenis alamin ayin. That if meat was out of the sight, if kosher meat was out of the sight of a Jew, when we talk about the Gemara, we're going to talk about it a little bit on Chavdalat on the days. We'll learn it tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, then according to Rav, you're not allowed to eat it, because it may have been exchanged for today for meat. Okay. So if it's on a string, for example, that's a valid enough simon to say that it wasn't exchanged. But that's as far as the halachas of kasher. So as far as the halachas of lost and found of Aveda is different. That's what we're saying over here, that's not simon. They asked Rav Sheshes the following question. In general, minyan have a simon or loy have a simon? Is the number of something a valid simon or not? This is the gears that we have, by the way. The Rif has a different gear, so that they asked him about mishkal, they asked him about weight, whether weight is a valid simon. Okay.
If you find grapes, you're not going to say, you know, there's 25.
Yeah, well, Amar Lahu Rav Sheshes, Tanisua. You can prove it from a braisa that we learned.
That what?
That this question about minyan. The question. You're asking about whether the number of something is a valid simon. Here we have a braisa that says as follows. Mata klei kesef klei nechoshes. If you find silver utensils or copper utensils, gasterin shel avar, you find broken pieces of lead. Gasterin means, Rashi says it means broken pieces, like gistra in a few places, and the Gemara means a broken piece of earthenware. B'chol klei matches, or any other kind of metal, or any other kind of metal utensils, how is a lo yachsu, you should not return it to anybody who claims it, adji yitin ois, unless that person gives a simon, oy adji yichavin mishkaloisev, or unless he says the exact weight of it. Therefore, if Shesha says, umud mishkal have a simon, so therefore, if you're telling me that weight is a valid simon, mido minyan nami have a simon, then the size or the number is also a valid simon. So there you go, a number is a simon. And according to the Rif's gives, so the answer was that the Braith says
that.
It's just examples.
It doesn't mean it's only those.
You said Kokle Matras, any kind of metal utensil. Yeah.
If you find a sword,
okay, if the person can identify the weight of it, then it would be a valid weight or the sort of the length of it or whatever, yeah. And again, that's not, as long as it's not a standard thing. Then it wouldn't be a simon, then yeah. So Tosfos points out that it depends what kind of thing we're talking about. When we talk about utensils, for example, the size of it is, or the number of them is a better simon than the total weight. When it comes to clothing, for example, the weight is a better simon because people don't usually weigh clothing. So we'll learn later on in the parak. For example, that if people come with conflicting simon, not conflicting, but each person comes with a different simon, but one has a better simon than the other. You get it to him. One example is over there, if a few people are claiming an item of clothing, and one of them is able to tell the weight of it, that's the best simon. Because clothing you don't usually weigh. But metal are usually weighed. Yeah. Right. Next, the Mishnah said, v'chatichas shabos, so behold, that if you find pieces of meat, then you're allowed to keep them. Again, the question is, why should he be allowed to keep them? Lehem mishkol a simon. Why isn't the weight of the pieces of simon? The answer is again the Mishkal of the Shavan. We're talking about it's all a standard size. It's all standard size piece. All standard or standard weight.
You have different sections of
the heavy chatika gufa simon. Why isn't the cut of meat itself a simon?
Or
the dafka or the atma, for example, whether it comes from the dafka, Rashi has two explanations. What dafka means, Rashi has two explanations. Either it means the neck or it means the side, the flanks of the animal. Anyway, or the atma or from the side.
Exactly.
Yeah, Milay Tanya isn't after all. Didn't we learn in a braisa? So Matzah Chatichas Dogim. If you find pieces of fish, the dog noshuk, or you find a fish with a bite out of it, Chayav Lahachlis. Then you have to announce them. And the braisa continues, by the way, which we're going to take up that part of the braisa in a minute. Chavis Shoyayin V'Shol Shemen. If you find barrels of wine or oil, V'Shol Tzvua V'Shol Groigris, or grain or dried figs, V'Shol Zesim or of olives, Harei L'Shaloi. Then you're allowed to keep them. Anyway, the point is, we're going to get to that in a minute, what kind of simon or lack thereof there is on barrels. But wait, the point is, the braisa said that if you found pieces of fish or bitten fish, you have to announce it. Why should it be any different with pieces of meat? The answer is, hacha maya skin, and yes, but what are we talking about when you have to return it, when you have to announce it? De'ika simon of a pasca, when there's a simon in the way, in the shape in which it was cut. If it was cut in an unusual shape, that's a simon. We're talking about meat that was just in our Mishnah, when it says that you can keep the meat, it's talking about it's cut just in a standard cut. As, for example, we have the example of Rava Bar Avuna, machatachla plus a karnasa. He used to cut his meat into triangles. Triangle, right, which is unusual. What was the point? Rashi says when he was sending meat, he would send meat home with a goy, he wanted to make sure the goy is not going to swap out the pieces of meat. So he'd cut them into triangles, which is an unusual shape, and therefore when his wife got them, she would know that's the right one. Yeah. By the way, one of the Mephoshim, I think it's the Tosfos Reed, I don't remember, asked the question, what good would that do? And a goy can't also cut meat into triangles? Why couldn't he substitute shape of meat and then also cut it into a triangle? So he says the key thing, Rama Bar Avuna wasn't so much concerned about the goy exchanging the meat. Tosfos says that's not so much of a concern. It was rather, what if, for example, a bird of prey, a vulture, let's say, snatches up one of the pieces of meat and drops another one there instead? How do you know that it's but if they're all cut into triangles, then it's not going to be. Dekanami, in fact, we can prove that from the Braisa, from the wording of the Braisa. Dekatoni, Dumi is a dog noshel, because the Mishnah mentioned pieces of fish in the same context as a fish with a bite out of it. A fish with a bite out of it, has a bite mark out of it, is a very good simon.
It's very unusual.
That's the point. It's unusual, therefore it's a simon. The same thing, when we say chatichas dogim, must also mean when they're cut into unusual shaped pieces. As opposed to standard shaped pieces, then you could keep them. Yeah. Shmami, not good, that proves it. Okay. Omama. Now, let's go back to the braisa. We said, that all these different kinds of barrels with different kinds of things in them, you're allowed to keep them. Question is, what do you mean you're allowed to keep them? The next Mishnah on Choteyam and Aleph says, kade yayin v'kade shemen, if you find barrels of wine or barrels of oil, you have to announce them. Kade and chobis, we learned in Balakam, the pasuk for kade, b'si and b'chobis, because basically it's two different words for the same thing, basically. So you have to announce them. What's the difference? Our Mishnah is talking about when they are sealed. The Rashi describes like this. The barrels in those times were made out of earthenware. They had an earthenware lid that was placed on top of them.
Not wood.
So that's the point that Rashi's making. Barrels in his times were made out of wood, but in the times of the Gemara, they were made out of earthenware. You can find lots of examples of them in museums all over the place. Anyway.
Well, they wouldn't have barrels. There are
whatever you want to call them. Yeah, whatever. The containers for drugs, containers, whatever for
glass.
Yeah, they were made out of earthenware. Usually, the lid was also made out of earthenware. So when they put on the lid, it has to be able to stay tightly on, otherwise the wine is going to be exposed to the air and start going bad. So they would seal it with clay. So Rashi describes like this: comes Shvat or Nissan time. The wine is the grapes are harvested Elul Tishrei time. The wine starts fermenting then by Shvat or Nissan time. It's ready.
Right.
At that point, the Balabatim who made wine go and start selling their jugs of wine to the storekeepers in bulk, 10 or 15 together. At that point, Rashi describes they take off the cover. They take off the cover. At that point, it's been sealed all winter. They take off the cover. Yeah, the clay. Yeah, they break the clay seal. They take off the cover. The storekeeper tastes the wine to make sure it's good, and then he seals it. Then he seals it again. Where he seals it with clay. Rashi describes that sealing is called a roshim. That ceiling is called Roshim. Tosfos learns differently. Roshim literally means a mark, and Tosfos learns that it means that each person would make, like, their, each Bala Bais would make their own personal mark in the ceiling. Okay, anyway. So then the Mishnah, when it says that you have to return him, it's talking about Roshim. So yeah, according to Rashi's understanding,
Rashi should know that.
Yeah, they say that Rashi was a good, no, I don't know if it's so clear that he was, anyway. So according to Rashi, that we're not talking about specific markings, we're just talking about the seal. The point is that it is a valid simon, because that time of year, some people have them sealed, some people just carry them around open, because they want to sell them immediately, in small quantities. According to Tosfos, it's each person marks them with their own marking, so therefore it's a simon. So the question is, the Klal de Braise, does that imply the Braise is talking about literally an open barrel without a cover on it at all? And that the Braise is saying you don't have to return it? Because the Mishnah is saying closed, yeah. Fine, but if the barrel is left completely open, of course, the person voluntarily is like he's giving it up. He's making it hector. Any of the bugs and snakes and whatever are going to come drink from it, yeah? So Rav Hoshia says no. The Braise is talking about when the cover is on, but it's not sealed on with the clay. So the cover is on, bugs aren't going to get into it, but it's not sealed. What? I guess so. But on the other hand, it's not sealed. It's not sealed either. So there's no simon of the seal. It's closed but not sealed, right? Abaya says you don't even have to say that. Both cases, the Mishnah and the Braisa, could be talking about where it is sealed, or according to Tosfos, was labeled. V'leikasha, it's still not a contradiction. Kan kodim sheniftecho oitzris, kan la'acha sheniftecho oitzris, because it depends. Are people's wine cellars open yet? Is it time for people to be starting to sell their... Just, no, is it time for people to start selling their wine to their storekeepers?
Oh,
before that, you have one individual, let's say, seals his barrel. Then if he loses it, at that point, it's a valid simon. Right. As opposed to afterwards, everybody seals their barrel. It's not really much of a simon anymore. Or Tosfos explains differently. Once you have the point, achash and iftachor oitzris, once everybody is taking their barrels and selling them to the storekeeper, fine, the balabas marked them with his own individual marking. But then a bunch of them go to the storekeeper and he starts selling them to people. Eventually, you have each person has.
How do we recognize who's whose?
The storekeeper receives barrels from many different people.
Yeah.
Let's say, for example, fine, each person makes a certain kind of marking on the seal. Fine, but once it's in the storekeeper's hand, it's not in the Balabais' hands anymore. The storekeeper, and then the storekeeper starts selling them individually to people. Not necessarily. Can you tell who lost it anymore?
Right.
Yeah, that's how Tosfos learned it.
And therefore,
it's not a simon. As opposed to before Sheniftechor Oitzris, when you have a barrel that's marked and where there's a certain position, a certain pattern of scratches, No. The point is that Kodim Sheniftechor Oitzris, you would have to return it. That's what the next one is. After Sheniftechor Oitzris, you would be able to keep it. Yeah,
right.
So you can't tell who lost it.
Right.
Kihodir of Yaakov Ba'aba Ashka.
That's Allah.
Well, it's Rashi versus Tosfos. I don't know who that Allah has decided. Like, as we have the example that Rabbi Yaakov Ba'aba found a barrel of wine after Niftechor Oitzris, after all the barrels are sealed, or all of them are marked and distributed or whatever. They'd open it to taste it, and then they'd reseal it. But according to Rashi, there comes a certain point of the year when there's a lot of sealed barrels of wine. There's no particular simon, the fact that a barrel is sealed. Or according to Tosfos, the fact that this particular balabas, when he sealed it, made scratches on it, let's say, in certain places, fine. But then he goes and sells it to the storekeepers, and they start selling it to the general public. So now you have this person has one, that person has one, you can't tell anymore who lost it. So this person, Rabbi Yaakov Ba'aba, found such a barrel after Sheniftechor. Also, he came to Abaya to ask, am I allowed to keep it? And sure enough, Abaya told him, you can keep it for yourself.
That's
all. Okay, next. Have a simon or loy have a simon? Is the place where you find something considered a simon or not? So we did talk about that before, Rabba and Rava's machlokas. So one thing is, some of the poshim point out, we're specifically talking about over here, as the Gemara is going to say soon, we're talking about a specific kind of mokum. We're talking about, let's say, on the dock. After people sell their wine to the storekeepers, they usually load it up on boats, on barges, and then take it downriver and start selling it and then unload it on the dock. The question is, if you find a barrel of wine on the dock, is that a valid simon? Or like in a place like that. That's what we're talking about. We're not talking about mokum in general. That we already dealt with before. Now we're dealing with an angle on it, yeah. Amalei Tanisua. He says, well, you can prove it from the Braitha that we just quoted. Motza Chavis, Shor Yayin, Shor Shemin, Shor Tzvur, Shor Grugis, Shor Zesim, Harei Lashonoi, that you're allowed to keep these barrels. But he said, that the Mokum have a Simen. If you're going to say the place is a Simen, Lichur is Mokum. Why didn't they announce the place? Obviously, it means the place is not a Simen.
Announce the place or announce what you found?
Announce what you found in a certain place. Let's say, yeah. Rashi and Tosfos discussed that earlier. Is it that you announce the object and the person has to identify the place, or is it that you identify you announce the place and the person has to identify the object? Yeah. Amr Zvid. So Zvid says no, because Chochav Ma'askin and Berachzid and Ara. No, because we're talking about over here on the. Because we can figure logically that we can figure logic. We don't have to say. In other words, you can't prove from that Braisa whether Mokum is a Simon or not, because it could be talking about you found it by the bank of the river, by the dock. And Omer of Mari, my time of Omer Rabbanon Raksa Denaro I have a Simon. Why indeed did Rabbanon say that if you find something on the bank of the river, by the dock, it's not a Simon? Damrin and Lay, because we say to the person, Ki Hechid Yisrami the Didach, just as much as it happened that you lost something over there, Yisrami Namalachabra, somebody else may have lost something on the same dock, it's not a Simon. Ikadamri, or another version, Amr Amari. Doesn't matter, really. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. I mean, the point is, even if it's a Rishos HaYachid, even if it's a person's private dock, but lots of people dock over there and then unload their barrels.
If it's a private dock, that's different.
No, because again, many people unload their barrels over there. You lost the barrel over there, fine.
Private dock?
Yeah, let's say. Okay.
Well, these are the owners that are moving their wire off the phone.
Not necessarily. The owner sells it to somebody who then goes, whatever, yeah. Okay. Ikadamri, or another version, Omer of Mari, according to the second version, Mari says, my time of Rabbanan Mahmol, I have a Simon. Why do the Rabbanan say the place is not a Simon? Is Damrin and Lay? Because we can say to the person who claims to have lost it, Tihechadis, Jamal Didach, Hai Mokim, just as much as it happened to you that you left it in this particular place, meaning not even necessarily on the dock in general. Even if he identifies it was on this particular spot of the dock. Still, we can tell him, just as much as you left something on that particular spot, it's Rami Nam and Lachavrach, it happened that somebody else also, Hai Mokim, it's Rami Nam Lachavrach, Hai Mokim. No, but the difference is, Rashi says, the first version is saying the dock in general. According to the first version, if the person were to say, I lost a barrel of wine on the dock, we would tell him, no proof. But if he says a specific section, then it would be a valid simon. The second version says not even that.
Not even that.
Another case. There was a person who found tar, which is something that doesn't have a simen. Kufra is tar. Tar. Let's say they use it for putting on the barrel to waterproof them.
Like kufra.
Yeah. So he found that b'matzarta in the place where they press grapes. Also, came to Rav. So he came to Rav to ask if he can keep it. And Rav tells him, go take it for yourself. Chazir to have a kumah, because there's not a simon. And also the Rashba, I think it is, or the Ritva, points out that we can't say, for example, if the owner of the wine press should be entitled to it, again, because not necessarily would he have ever found it, or because it may be a Rosh Hashanah, a lot of people come there to press their wine, or it may even be the owner of the wine press himself found it. Anyway. Chazir to have a komechsam, so he saw that Rav saw that this person was hesitating, like, is that really correct? Can I really take it? So he tells him, fine, go divide it with my son Chia. In other words, I hold that it's absolutely mutter to you if you wanted even, I wouldn't even mind if my son Chia took some of it. Rabbi Yaakov then points out, by the way, he himself didn't want to offer to take any of it because that wouldn't look right, that he's deciding the halacha in order to take some of it for himself. But for his son, that's not an issue.
But it's the same thing, isn't it?
No, not really.
He was an adult?
He may have been an adult, but it doesn't matter. Question is, Lema Kasava Rav Mokum they have a simon? Does that mean Rav holds the place if something is not a simon? On the face of it, why shouldn't he announce, I found a bowl of tar in this wine, or whatever, I found something in this wine press, and the person will identify that it's a barrel bowl of tar, or vice versa, yeah. The answer is no. Amar Rav Abba Mishum Yush Bailam Nogubah. No, because here it's an issue of Yush. Here there's reason, here Rav was saying he's allowed to keep it on the ground, not on the grounds of whether there's a simon or not. Even if it had a simon, he'd be able to, because on the grounds of Yush. Because he saw that weeds were growing on it. So obviously the person had left it there for so long and forgotten about it, then already we can assume he was Miyayish on it.
Obviously, Russian is in
Whatever, believe in nice, but like he's muzzled, like he's hesitating. You shouldn't muzzle an ox when it's threshing. We're gonna learn about that later in the Masechta. Actually, we're gonna learn about all the dinim of that.
Trying to get out of the muzzle?
No. If I care, like as if he's muzzled, like he can't speak clearly, like he's hesitating.
When an
ox is threshing the grain or doing other field work, you're not allowed to muzzle him. You have to let him eat from it. We're gonna learn about that later. We're gonna learn. We mentioned it briefly before. We're going to learn about it extensively in the seventh parak, in the eighth and seventh parak of Armasaka.